Welcome, Lund Loyalists, to John Lund Unleashed. Those watching on YouTube, on the John Lund Unleashed and Bay Area Sports Collective channels. Viewers on X, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook, and Lundos listening to the podcast on Apple and Spotify. John Lund Unleashed, brought to you by Reappell Sports Medicine. Got pain? Check out our revolutionary stem cell treatments. And guys, if low T is bringing you down, Reappell Sports Medicine can put you back in the game. Now all juiced up and ready to go, here's John.
Good morning. Yeah, I don't know how they won. Most of like a ground out to short, a couple of ground outs, some help from the umpire. My God. I'll take it, though. Bryce Harper was none too happy. Matt Chapman got a couple of nice calls. It's rare, but it happens when the umps help the Giants out. So this tough stretch starts, and there you go. The Giants get the win last night. We'll discuss. We got a ton to get to today. Good morning. There I am. Good morning. Episode 185, How Did the Giants Win? Root was solid. Devers apparently stood up Will Clark. But I think there's something more to that. Dave Fleming's brother, Will Fleming, said on WEEI. We'll get into that conversation. The schedule. Jazz Kuminga, I got a call from a friend of mine. I worked in Salt Lake City, as you know, for years. Actually started sports radio up there. With David Locke, one of the from Locked On, if you've listened to any of the Locked On podcasts, good friend of mine, and we all kind of pioneered that all together. So I got a lot of connections up there, and they think because of this trade exception that they just got in that trade yesterday with the Clippers and the Heat and the Jazz, and the Jazz have about a $27 million trade exception. Could they fit Kuminga into that, at least for the first year? There's a little bit of buzz on that. Kevon Looney was creating buzz, speaking of, looking like Rick James at his Pelicans signing yesterday. Some 49ers lists as we get closer to training camp, and there's nothing going on, so ESPN puts together lists, and some of them are fun and some aren't, but you know my viewpoint on lists. Well, let's have a little fun with it. I was doing something on the 49ers, a piece that I'm writing, and I went to their depth chart and went, whoa. They've got some good starters, but man, their depth is lacking. So we'll get into that as well. Random things happen throughout the show. Sweet, clean, family-friendly Caboose Pistol. I got a couple of them. I do not have a first pitch like I did yesterday, but still, I do have a couple of things. I don't think they're video related. I think they're both just, one's great news actually, if you're a traveler. So anyway, we got a bunch of stuff to get to today. However you're watching. Oh yeah. Let me make sure that I'm hitting Instagram. One thing is you have to hit Instagram to go live on Instagram. Everything else just goes automatically. So anyway, however you're watching today, that is outstanding. We are now live on Instagram, X at John Lund Radio. Instagram is at John Lund Radio. You should really be working LinkedIn people, but you're not, which is nice. So if you're on LinkedIn, Facebook, whether it's my personal page, which you can say hello and we can become friends, or my John Lund Unleashed page, however you want to do that. And of course, you're watching on YouTube right now, and you're maybe in the chat room, which we invite you over to the chat room, a great community that we are building and have built. That's at John Lund Unleashed. Please make sure on YouTube that you are subscribed, John Lund Unleashed. You hit the like button before you get out of here today, and please have those alerts on because we send stuff out throughout the day. I did send out that first pitch in its entirety so you can laugh at me and that kind of stuff. So we did that. And then, of course, as you know, if you're around here much, that big B in the corner below me right there is the Bay Area Sports Collective, and that is a collective of Bay Area podcasts and YouTube shows like mine, John Lund Unleashed, Tom Tolbert, former ex, lots of ex-KNBRers, Polly Mack and Creative Tony. They'll be on after me this morning. Creative Tony was our creative director at KNBR, hence the name Creative Tony, in case you didn't know, with Polly Mack, formerly the KNBR Morning Show. Rod Brooks does a great night show, which is awesome. So, you know, the great Rod Brooks. And Rod does Quality Hang. And then Amy G. and former Giant Jeremy Affeldt. So all of those shows on the Bay Area Sports Collective, so you don't miss when they were all on, and they're on during the day, at night, all the time. Make sure that you get those alerts on over there at the Bay Area Sports Collective on YouTube as well. All right. Good morning. One thing we got to do before we get going on anything and give out roll call, which is what we'll do on the chat room on John Lund Unleashed on YouTube. So if you want to be recognized, and I'll say good morning to you, jump on over to that. There is Dr. Jeffrey Reappell. He is a fine sponsor of the program, and he is awesome. My wife is feeling incredible, and I'm not just saying this. I'm really not. I want you to understand that her shoulder, her elbow, lots of pain, man. We would literally watch shows, you know, we Netflix and chill, and I'll pop off the screen real quick. And so 3, 2, 1, get that QR code so you can go straight to the website. But we'd be laying on the couch and she'd be on this side and she'd have all these wraps and stuff on her. And I would always laugh at her. And we went to such a level where we bought like a cube freezer that she put all her contraptions in. That's how much pain she was in. She went to Dr. Riopelle. She's done it a couple of times. And she is about 90% pain-free, both shoulder and elbow. It's awesome. She did it with her foot because she was having some problems there. She had 2 procedures. Absolutely, again, 90% pain-free. She didn't even used to be able to walk the dog. Let's just put it that way. I mean, she was like, I can't, man. And so she's feeling great. And Dr. Riopelle was one of the first in California to do stem cell. It is absolutely, again, I'm not firsthand because it's not me, but what I'm seeing from my wife is it's magical. It really works. It is really awesome. And if you tell him I sent you over, he'll treat you extra special. So check out Dr. Jeffrey Riopelle, R-I-O-P-E-L-L-E. And they do all sorts of other procedures to make you feel better. Men, women, look better, feel better. So just go to the website. All you have to do is Google it. All you have to do, use a search engine, R-I-O-P-E-L-L-E, Dr. Jeffrey Riopelle, right there in San Ramon. He is awesome. And again, the most important part, tell him that I sent you over. All right. Good morning to everybody. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. I want to say good morning to everybody. Dom is here first in today. Very cool. Scott, very good to see you this morning. Hello, Christopher. Nice to see you, man. Jesus. I don't know if I've seen you in a while. It is great to see you. Enrique, we've already got some supers. Remember, if you want your stuff, question, comments, thoughts on the screen, 100%, hit me with a super and I'll get those up on the screen for you. And we already do have a couple this morning, which I very much appreciate. Donations to the show. Antonio, it is great to see you, my friend, this morning. Pine Needle is here this morning. I don't know why I said it like that, but I just did. Fuji, our good friend. Fuji. Oh, hello, Juan. By the way, this is public knowledge that Walter is having a boy. I can't believe he was able to hit the ball when they did the reveal and the blue smoke or whatever comes flying out. The blue stuff comes flying out. So as scary as it sounds, Walter is going to influence a young man. And so congratulations to Walter. I texted him. I'm sure that wasn't probably sufficient, but it is great. And congratulations to Walter. He is having a son, which is awesome. Now he's going to be an awesome dad, man. So congrats to our good friend, Walter, my former producer at KNBR. And he is still at KNBR. And he's got a great podcast as well that you need to check out. Let me go back there. He has a great podcast that you need to check out as well. Passion for the Pastime on YouTube. So make sure that you follow Walter. He is awesome. Aaron is here this morning. Who else do we have? We got a bunch of people in the room today. Mark, it is great to see you, my friend. Very cool to see you. Jake, good morning. Tommy, good morning. If I have not acknowledged you, I will at some point. But yeah, Walter having a boy, man. That's awesome. And again, make sure you watch his podcast even more. He's got to support himself, man. He's not going to do it on that KNBR salary. Just kidding. But no, very cool, man, that Walter's having a boy. And like I said, he's going to be an awesome dad. So congratulate Walter, if you would. That would be awesome. Kenny, it's good to see you, my friend. Yeah, Kenny is like, let's be nice to get those going. All right, let's get going on this thing from yesterday. I don't know how they won. I really don't. Oh, let me do some supers first before I get into all of that, because you know me. I'll get all like, brap, 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 brap. So thank you. And like I said, if you want to contribute to the show in a couple of different ways, plus get your thoughts 100%. Hit me with a super like Tommy did this morning. Fry. Yeah, the Dodgers are not doing so well. And not only are they not doing so well, they got, man, Milwaukee. I don't know how they do it. I don't know what's in the water in Milwaukee. I don't know. Lose a guy, fine. You know, lose another guy, fine. Lose Adames, fine. Lose pitching, fine. They're right there all the time. You lose your GM to the Mets, fine. Doesn't matter. So the Brewers blow them out after the Astros just absolutely smoked them, and the Dodgers broadcasters are bringing up, you know, cheating again and bitching and moaning and all this. And it's like, get over it, man. So they got smoked by the Astros, and then they got beat badly by the Brewers yesterday. And like I said, I love to see the Dodgers lose, but I'm just amazed at what the Brewers do as a small market team. Just every year, doesn't matter, they lose. They're just really good. So 4 L's in a row. And yeah, let's get into Roop in just a second. Thank you, Tommy. It's good to see you this morning. Let's get into a little Landon Roop. He is on the chalkboard today, so we shall discuss. It is great always to see Fuji. Yes, 100%. Dodgers in town, got to do a bottom of the pint on Friday. 100% Fuji. So we will be here Friday with the Krug Show. Dodgers, Giants, absolutely, positively. Got to do a bottom of the pint. So that's fun. And if you don't know what bottom of the pint is, what it is it's Krug and I, Larry Kruger from the Krug Show, good friends, and we come together. We watch a Giants game. This is just a Celsius, so this is not a cocktail. But we drink beers. We hang out. We chug beers for runs. I got to get back to, and I know Fuji's going to ask me this, I got to get back to grilling and doing all this kind of stuff. I did to a certain point acquiesce to my wife, and I cleaned up that grill area because it was like four grills. And she was like, this is the only part of the house inside or out that's like, what? And I'm like, yeah, but I get like a little bit. Like I get the studio where I'm sitting right now, which is adjacent to the house, and the barbecues, which are right outside this door. And they're, you know, they were just kind of all over the place. And so, okay, I had a flat top smoker grill. She doesn't understand that like I need all four. And she constantly will be like, do we need four of those? I'm like, yes, we need four. So anyway, I'm kind of losing the battle because I got to keep it nice and straight. So anyway, that's that story. But yes, Dodgers, Giants, got to do it on Friday. All right. I don't know how they won. I don't know how they won last night. In fact, let me just grab my phone because I was scribbling stuff to myself all night long. And it was just driving me absolutely crazy. So for example, I'm going to read straight off my phone if I can do this. All right. Here's what I wrote. Brutal second inning for the Giants. Bases loaded, no out. By the way, my God, the changeup last night was incredible. You got to give credit where credit is due. But strikeout on a changeup, blah, blah, blah. Then a slow dribbler. Turner misplays that one out at second. Score Chapman. So they get a dribbler and they score a run, but it wasn't like, you know, they did that a couple of times. A couple of their runs were just basically lucky runs last night. Third inning, Giants blow it out again. Castellanos misplays the ball, can't get to the, I think I did this. I didn't write this. I did this. I sit here with my phone and I hit a button and it never gets it right. Like, you know, let's see, Chapman hit a knuckleball to center field. Yeah, that was the one that Marsh misplayed, but then bounced over the wall so Devers couldn't score. And then they didn't score on that one. So it's like all night long, I'm just like, yep, 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 yep. And then all of a sudden you look up and they win. They did get a little bit of help from, hang on just a second. Okay. Sorry, I had another thing there. But bottom line is you're sitting there and watching the game and you're just like second inning frustrating, third inning frustrating, fifth inning frustrating. Like they just can't get the key hit. And this has been all season long. This has been basically the Giants over the last X amount of years. And you're just completely frustrated. So let me share the screen with you real quick because that didn't really help to go through all my chicken scratch on my phone. But let's see, here we go right here. So as you look at it last night, bottom of the lineup just kills me, man. Like after Flores, Schmidt did get a hit last night. Jung-Hoo Lee did get a hit last night, but he looked ugly in a couple of them. Matos got a hit last night. But man, I'm looking at the bottom of this order going, man, Schmidt, Lee, Matos, Bailey, just going, my God, you have four non-competitive. Now, having said that, they got a couple of hits out of the bottom part of the lineup last night. So I will give him some credit out of that whole thing. But, man, I got to give it up to Sanchez last night. His changeup, that might be the best changeup in baseball. I mean, I know that we say that about a lot of people, but he threw 105 pitches over seven innings. He was absolutely dominant, and he doesn't get the win. And sometimes you watch a game, and you're like, if he didn't have a scoreboard, Sanchez was so good last night. The changeup was so nasty. And I thought maybe the strategy should have been with him get after it early, because if you see a fastball, you got to get on it. Because if he gets you in a pitcher's count, you know that changeup is coming, and nobody could hit it last night. It was just ridiculous. His change was so good. And even if you knew it was coming, like you're sitting on your couch last night and you're going, changeup's coming, changeup's coming, changeup's coming. It didn't matter. I mean, the dude was absolutely dominant last night. And then they got a little bit of help from Phil Cuzzi, which I'll pop up in a minute, which is nice, but not really a dominant performance by anybody. Having said that, as Tommy said to start the show in a super, I'll take Landon Roop doing what he did last night. At times you're going, God, he better get out of this. But you know what's funny about Landon Roop? He doesn't look overly impressive. He does have a great curveball. He does have some out pitches. that if he's on, he can look pretty solid. But he was just okay last night. You know, walked two, struck out three. But then you look at it, throws 100 pitches, only gives up one earned run. And on the year, his ERA is 3.39. So he's not going to blow you away. He's not going to, you know, you're not going to go like Sanchez last night. Like, I'm watching Sanchez going, my God, this guy's ridiculous. And then you look at Roop, and Sanchez went seven innings, a little bit more impressive, eight strikeouts, whatever. Throws 105 pitches, very efficient. Roop kind of struggled at times. But then you look at the end of the day, he gets a win, only gives up one earned run, has a 3.39 ERA on the year. And I've sat here all, you know, over the last couple of weeks and been like, well, Birdsong's got to be your three, and then we'll kind of see. And, you know, maybe Roop is just solid enough to be a three, because if they're going to make a move at the deadline, which I believe they are, then I think they still need a number three, but maybe Roop can be that. Maybe Birdsong's good enough. Maybe, and again, we're getting to ifs and whats and maybes. You know, Verlander can be a five and just be good enough. But like last night, he just kind of gutted it out. And then Ryan Walker, you kind of hold your breath. He was fine. I've told you, Joey Lucchesi, who got out of it last night, but scares the hell out of me every time. He's the lefty now. With Eric Miller, that would have been Eric Miller's spot last night. But Lucchesi's, you know, they don't have lefties in the bullpen. So here's Joey Lucchesi pitching in a spot that would have been Eric Miller. He scares the hell out of you. It takes him 20 pitches to get through an inning, but he gets out of it. And then Tyler Rogers does what Tyler Rogers does. And then Duvall does what Duvall does, which is, again, it's a roller coaster ride. It scares the hell out of you. But then he ends up getting the save. And you scratch your head and you go, how did they get that win? But they did. So they end up getting the win. They got a little help. Willy Adames hit that double. He's really looking like he's good. Again, runners in scoring position. We talk about this every freaking day. 0-for-9. And, you know, you're looking at some of your hitters. Flores has come through this year. Yastrzemski's come through this year. Chapman is, you know, is usually a clutch guy. But then it always seems like bottom of the order, right? Schmidt, 0-for-1. Bailey, 0-for-2. Matos, 0-for-1. Lee, 0-for-2. Like, the guys that are struggling the most right there had six of the nine opportunities came from the bottom of the order. That just always seems to be what's happening. The guys who are struggling with the stick, Schmidt, Bailey, Matos, Lee, those are the guys that are up in key situations, and they're not getting key hits. So that's basically what happened last night. You go 0-for-9 with runners in scoring position. You get a scrappy start from Roop. You get a couple of ground out, you know, scoring opportunities where you score one, and all of a sudden you get a 3-1 win, and you get a little help from the umpire, and the Phillies were pissed off about it. So they get the win. I don't know how they got the win, but they got the win, and that's all that matters. You know, in sports, people like to grade wins. I don't care. It's kind of like me in college, you know, it was pass fail, you know, A, B, C, whatever. I would take a couple of classes and just say, fine, it's just pass fail. I'll just pass. It's fine. But they ended up getting a win. And so I'll take it. You know, it wasn't pretty, but I'll take it. And just to kind of give you a little bit on this whole thing. So there's Phil Cuzzy, and people like to bitch and moan about umpires. 85% called strike accuracy is not acceptable. 94%, I mean, you kind of got to live with it. Overall accuracy, 91%. That's on the lower end in terms of that. And then you see right there are the three missed calls. In Philadelphia today, they're bitching about the Chapman calls. Missed on Chapman, missed on Chapman. And then you saw Harper get pissed off about that pitch, that third pitch. So those are three pretty big pitches that Phil Cuzzy misses. And the thing that drives me absolutely crazy, Kruko used a term last night. Mike Kruko during the broadcast used a term last night. And I was just, I almost threw something at my TV, and it wasn't because of Mike. It's just because, like I said, Patrick Bailey's going to be out of a job, but they need robo umps. And I'm not for perfection. You know, when they sit there intricately and look at plays, you know, I'm like, look, it wasn't meant to do this, but balls and strikes have got to be accurate. I mean, they just, balls and strikes have got to be accurate. And Kruko last night used a term that he lets his strike zone breathe. He's got a breathing strike zone. In other words, it's kind of, you know, this or that, or it's kind of, you know, it fluctuates, I guess is what he's saying. He said he lets he has a strike zone that breathes or something like that. And I just blurted out loud. I'm by myself in the studio, so it was pretty stupid. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, what? A breathable strike zone. No. It's not a breathable strike zone. It's not. I know I go through this rant probably once a month, but a strike zone is not breathable. It's like math. 2 + 2 is always 4. Always. It's not open to interpretation. There's an actual like strike zone, and it's not open to interpretation. And it drives me crazy. And again, it's not Mike. It's not Krug. It's not what he's saying. He's right. You know, and at the beginning of a game, everything is okay. They go through what the guy's stuff is and how hard he throws and what he throws and what percentage he throws it and all that kind of stuff. And then Mike goes straight to the umpire and says, well, this is, you know, he does this, he does that. He'll give you the wide one. He's got a tight strike zone. No, 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 no. It's not open to interpretation. Now, look, there's a different strike zone for Aaron Judge versus Jose Altuve, but it's still the same strike zone. It's like, well, sometimes he won't give you the one, you know, the up above the belt. And it's like, what are you talking about, man? It's just driving me crazy. So, look, I'm not a huge advocate of the robo-ump. And I talked to Eric Burns about it a ton of times, and he's huge about it. But I'm getting to the point where it's like, it was in the Giants' favor last night, so you like it. But if the tables were turned, I want balls and strikes. It's such an important part of the game, balls and strikes. I just want it to be what's a ball and what's a strike. And it would make it so much easier for the hitter. Like, the hitter has to walk up to home plate and look and say, okay, let me go back into my memory bank here. Is this guy a low ball guy, a high ball guy, an inside guy, an outside guy, or does he have a breathable strike zone? Like, what the hell is that? Like, you can't know. And those sound like great numbers as I popped them up on the screen. Oh, that's pretty good, man. He's 94%. 85% called strike accuracy is no bueno. Like, anything below, like, he went overall accuracy of 91. That's not good. Like, that might be good if, you know, like, I never saw a 91 in college. I don't think I ever had a paper that was a 91. Like, that'd be nice for that, but it's all in context. You know, that means you get about 9 out of 10 pitches right. And I don't know, man. If that's your only job, 85% is just no, you can't do that. You can't miss a pitch and a half for every 10. That's no good. So anyway, and I get it, man. The square a lot of times is not accurate. You talk to major league players all the time. They hate the square. I know that. I was watching the game last night, and I'm always flipping through Twitter, and I think JT Snow was on there. I don't know if JT was having beers or whatever. JT is one of the nicest guys you could ever meet, but he was getting pissed. It's kind of funny, actually. Anyway, I don't know that he liked the zone very much. Anyway, whatever. I'm not for like the intricate. Let's make sure that is, you know, like a guy, like, I think they should change the rule, to be completely honest. If you're safe, like at first base, you can obviously run through, but at second base, if they can make a determination, I know this is tough, but let's say a guy slides off the bag just barely and the guy keeps a tag on him. I hate that. I hate that rule. Like, if a guy is safe, he's still second base and he's safe, and maybe he barely comes off the bag. Like, if he slides over the bag, I get it. I don't want it to be that, because then they can go full speed into a guy. Oh, I slid off the bag. I was safe initially. That's not what I'm saying. If you're safe and then you kind of barely come off the bag afterwards, and then they keep the tag on you and then they get you, it's like, I hate that. I don't like that part of it. So I think they should actually change that. But then that would be open to interpretation, and that would open up a whole new can of worms. So they'll probably never do that. But I hate that. I'm not looking for like the intricate thing, but balls and strikes are a pretty big part of the game. And even if you miss one, like, okay, it's a 1-1 count, 1-2 versus 2-1. Massive, right? And, you know, goes without saying, it's a 3-2 count, and, you know, they miss something like that, and you're out versus getting on base. And it's just such an important part of the game, obviously, that if you miss it to the level that Phil Cuzzi was mentioned missing pitches last night, and it was in the Giants' favor, I get it. But I want an accurately called game as much as it can be accurately called. And I at least go to the point where you can tap your head. Because in the minor leagues, I'm sure you've watched this, it literally by the time the ball is back to the pitcher, they have it. It takes milliseconds. It takes no time whatsoever. Now, I don't want everything replayed. Let's go to New York. Let's check that. Like, that's the part that pisses me off about replay in general, given our technology nowadays. It should be instantaneous that a call is either confirmed. And you know my thought, if a call is being challenged, there should be no bias. So if a call is challenged, it's just, okay, like they missed it completely on the field and let's look. And you look at it in a non-biased fashion. There is no, we got to overturn it. We got to, you know, okay, it was called this way on the field. I don't care how it was called on the field, because we're checking it. So look at it 100% objectively. It shouldn't have to be overturned. It shouldn't have to, you know, however you see it should be the call. That absolutely needs to be changed. But it should be quicker in every single sport. And in the thing where they tap their head, I forgot what it's called off the top of my head, but where they do that, it's just the guy taps and then they just, you know, instantaneous. By the time the catch or the pitcher catches the ball again, the return throw from the catcher, they have the call. That's what they, at the very least, they need to do that. At the very least, they need to do that. I mean, I just, the fact that they're not doing that, what, you don't want to show up umpires? I mean, that's the way you can tell if it's a good umpire and kick the bad ones out. Like, if you're constantly, and I know there's a limit to it, but I mean, if guys are constantly tapping their head, then it's like, okay, that guy clearly sucks. Get him out of the league. That's a good way also to just kind of use a strainer and say, okay, these umpires shouldn't be calling games. They're constantly being challenged and they're wrong. So, and not just, you know, again, the box isn't 100% right. So every time we're like, oh, that caught a part of the zone. Maybe it did, maybe it didn't. You know, anyway, didn't mean to go on that tangent today. So how did the Giants win? They got a little help and they just kind of scrapped apart some runs and Landon Roop was outpitched by Christopher Sanchez, but it doesn't matter. He scrapped enough and was solid enough. And maybe Landon Roop is your three. Maybe it's like, okay, Mr. Birdsong, you've got better stuff. You're more impressive. You're throwing 98. Your stuff's moving like crazy. But you know what? You're the four. And then Justin Verlander, I don't know, you're the five. And if we get something out of you, great. Maybe that's the way that they're going to do it because they've definitely got to add more offense. 0-for-9 runners in scoring position last night. 0-for-9. So how did the Giants win? Roop was solid. The Devers-Clark thing we'll get to in just a second. But let me do this just because it's kind of more along the lines of what we're talking about. So when I was talking about the schedule and it was easy and you had the Marlins and the White Sox and the Diamondbacks are okay. And we were looking at everything. We're going, oh, man, they got to take advantage of the schedule, right? Well, now is where it gets nasty. So, you know, you had those things and you had the A's after that and things are going to be really easy. And now you got two more against the Phillies. You got three against the Dodgers, then the break, then the Jays. And I forgot to mention the Jays because they're in first place in the American League East. So think about this. Phillies first place in the NL East. Dodgers first place, obviously, in the West. All-Star break. Blue Jays first place in the AL East. Braves, who I still don't think are out of it, but okay, they're playing crummy baseball. And the last time we saw them, they were atrocious against the Giants. And then the Mets, the top wild card team in the National League. So let's do a little bit of counting. 2, 5, 8, 11, 14. 11 of the next 14 games, you're playing playoff teams, and you're playing three divisional leaders in the Phillies, Dodgers, and Blue Jays. So that's not going to be easy. So they couldn't handle the bad teams. How are they going to do against the really good teams? Now, maybe they're going to be good. They win last night. They win 3-1. We'll see what the Phillies do. Dodgers, we know. Mets have been sliding a little bit, but then they've kind of righted their ship a little bit. And then within that, you're going to the Braves. You got the Pirates at home. You're like, you got to go like 5-1 or something against the Braves and the Pirates. The Pirates stink. Now, Paul Skeens is ridiculous. And every single day, by the way, and I'll stop sharing that now. Every single day, by the way, there's something like ESPN has a huge piece today on like 6 trades the Pirates should look at for Paul Skeens. Dude's in his second year. Like, if I'm the Pirates, I'm not trading Paul Skeens. Are you insane? And like one of them is the Dodgers. And I'm like, I just know Paul Skeens is going to end up on the Dodgers. He's just too high profile girlfriend, like the whole thing. I know he's going to end up on the Dodgers. I'm just going to piss everybody off. And they're not going to give up anything for him. And it's going to be like, my God. But anyway, I wrote this up. So Toronto's leading the East. You got them in there. You got, obviously, the only team right there. So those are the three division leaders plus the wild card team. You don't play the Cubs in this stretch. But you play the Dodgers, you're playing the Phillies, and you play the Mets. So this stretch is massive for the Giants. Are you for real? And I think right now, and this it's actually really good timing for this because if they don't play well, and look, a win's a win. I get it. But Buster Posey, as he sits in that big box that he has with everybody and they're all talking with each other, he went 0-for-9 with runners in scoring position. You had the bases loaded and no out in the second inning. He had an opportunity in the third inning. He had an opportunity in the fifth inning. And he had to be thinking to himself, look at the bottom of our order. Jung-Hoo Lee's not hitting. Schmidt is better, but still I don't trust him 100%. Patrick Bailey doesn't hit at all. The thing about Matos, by the way, and I was thinking about this as I was watching, as I was watching the game last night. The thing why Matos is a problem, and everybody's just like, oh, they just got to give him time. They just got to give him time. He's sitting about $172 now. And I get it. They've jerked him around. But as I'm watching him last night, he's not going to have a power profile. He's a thin guy. And so if you look at, like, you know, look at Bryce Eldridge, for example. Bryce Eldridge is a long, tall guy, and he can fill out. He's going to get bigger. And he's already a home run guy, but he's going to get bigger. Or you look at a guy like Marco Luciano, right? He's filled out. Like when he first came up, he looked kind of skinny, right? And he was a shortstop. And now you look at Marco Luciano, who, by the way, PCL player of the week. I think he's got like 16 home runs down there. I think they're just going to let him go for an entire year. But Luciano's got, you know, obviously he's got really good power. He hit two home runs the other night, 16 home runs on the season. You can see he's filled out. He's big. I look at Luis Matos. He doesn't really have a frame to get big. He's thin, and he's only about, what, 5'9", 5'10", maybe? I mean, he's thin. So maybe he'll go on this big, you know, maybe he'll hit a certain age where he gets bigger and stronger and all this kind of stuff. But right now, he's not. He doesn't have the frame to get bigger. So he's kind of a warning track power guy. He's not a defender. He, like last year when they tried him in center, he was a disaster. He made some plays, but then it's like, oh my God, you get nervous. Like Jung-Hoo Lee's not hitting, I get it. But when the balls hit the center field, you're like, okay, he's going to get that one. He's going to track that one down. Matos was like, I don't know. He would make some great catches. He would make some plays. You're like, what are you doing? He's not a center fielder. He's not a great defensive outfielder. He's got decent speed, not great speed. Like, what's he going to hang his hat on? He's got warning track power, and he doesn't really have a frame to get really big. So for everybody who loves Luis Matos, he's got a quick bat. I'll give him that. He's got like a whippy kind of quick bat. But he's not going to get that much bigger. He just doesn't have the frame to get really big. So I don't know what he's going to ever bring to the table. I think at this point, he's a 4A guy. And everybody's just screaming and yelling, Matos, 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 Matos. I don't see it. I just don't. And if I'm wrong, then you can rip me to shreds. But I don't see him being able to get bigger. He doesn't have a lot of great speed. He's not a great defender. I mean, I think he's a 4A guy. Could be wrong. So anyway, there's that. What else do I have on the baseball front today? Oh, there's the thing on Luciano. I had this in my notes for Alex Pavlovich. There you go. 5 games last week, 7 for 18, 8 runs, 4 homers, 12 RBI, 7 walks. The walks, by the way, impressive. And maybe teams are just like, I ain't pitching that guy anymore. So we'll see. I mean, I'm not saying that Luciano is a prospect again, certainly to the level that we all thought he was. But remember, and I'm just throwing this out there for comp reasons, I'm not saying this is going to be the case, but remember, last year, so 2024, in spring training, the Giants to Elliot Ramos went, yeah, you're good. They sent him to minor league camp early. He kind of got lost. And then at Sacramento, if you remember, he was kicking ass to such a high level that it was, you know, they were bringing other guys up. There was injuries. And then we started talking about it. I remember talking about it a ton on KNBR, like, they got to bring Ramos up at some point. I mean, he's crushing it to such a level that it's like, you got to bring the guy up. And finally they did, and he did what he did. Now, again, I'm not comping. Don't say I said this because I'm not saying that. I'm not saying Luciano is going to be Ramos. But you can also get to such a point as a prospect. Remember, we're always talking about Ramos. Ramos, 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 first round pick and all this kind of stuff. And then kind of everybody soured on him, forgot about him. And then all of a sudden people mature at different rates. Don't I know it? People mature at different rates, and all of a sudden he was ready to go, and he took advantage of his opportunity, and I think Ramos is the real deal. So maybe that can happen with Luciano. Now, he doesn't have a defensive position. He's playing in the outfield. But when I look at it, if I'm Buster Posey, again, let's go back to that, you know, sitting around, he knocks out a wall, they're all talking together. And if I look at, and I talk about this all the time, the lack of depth, organizational depth from a position player standpoint, a hitting standpoint, don't you at some point have to give Luciano a shot? I mean, I think in the pecking order for just 2025, okay, just 2025, Bryce Eldridge isn't ready. He's had injuries. He's still trying to learn how to play first base. DH is taken care of. Rafael Devers is the DH. So he's not getting a shot there. He's not ready to play first base defensively. I don't see where maybe at the end of the year, if they're out of it or something, maybe Eldridge just gets a taste to go into the offseason to say, okay, this is what Major League Baseball is like. I can see that. But because of the injury, he's behind. He just barely got to AAA, you know, maybe a month ago, a few weeks ago, whatever it was. So give him a little bit of time. In terms of pecking order at the AAA level, all right, we've seen Brett Wisely. He's come up. Tyler Fitzgerald now is kind of an up and down yo-yo. He's back down. But as I'm looking at my roster going, okay, I'm lacking hitters. The bottom of my lineup features Jung-Hoo Lee, who's not hitting, Schmidt, who we don't know, Bailey, who's a complete zero with the stick. Like, it's not like they don't lack for hitting, and they can get something done at the trade deadline. And Luciano's not a second baseman. He's not a shortstop. I get it. They've tried him a little bit at first base. I mean, that's, if I'm the Giants at this point, that's what I'm doing. I know that Bryce Eldridge needs to play first base as well, but on the days that maybe I DH Eldridge, I'm definitely playing Luciano first. Now he's playing in left field, but I got a left fielder. Luciano sure as hell ain't playing center, and he sure as hell ain't playing right in this park. So where exactly is going to be? And I already have a DH. So I see where the problem is they're going, okay, he does have some good power. He's got 16 home runs. That's a great point by JR. Yeah, Ramos can play right. I don't think there's any doubt. Ramos, again, I thought Ramos was going to be a better defender. Remember, he played in center for a while last year, and he couldn't really handle that. But he's got athleticism. But for some reason, he doesn't read the ball off the bat real well. He doesn't get great jumps. Plays that seem to be routine plays aren't really routine plays. Now, he did make a nice sliding catch last night, but that's what I mean. He's kind of up and down in that way. Like, he'll make some great catches, and then he'll get a bad jump on a ball or whatever. So he's not the most steady, I guess I would say, outfielder. But he has the athleticism to do it. So I think he can play right. Would I want him on the regular? Is he Mike Yastrzemski out and right? No, he's not that. But just to see, like, everyone's obsessed. I guess I'll go back to Matos. Everyone's kind of obsessed with Matos. I think he's a 4A guy. He's hitting .172. I think, yeah, could you give him it's not trial and error here. Let's try him. I mean, Yastrzemski's not having a bad year. Jung-Hoo Lee's your center fielder. I wish he'd hit better, but defensively, they're going to stick him there. That's just the way it is. They don't have anybody better. And then Ramos is your left fielder. So I don't know. If I'm the Giants, I'm trying to get Luciano sometime at first base just to see, because first base is still a black hole. Devers, you can tell, Devers is not running well. He's got that hamstring is really bothering him. And I'm going to get into that in just a second, because something that was said by Dave Fleming's brother in Boston. But you saw last night, like, people were dogging him and getting pissed off at him on that ball that was dropped by Castellanos in right field. And it was kind of between three players, and they couldn't get to it. And there's Devers standing on first base when anybody but maybe Wilmer Flores on the Giants would have been on second base and should have been on second base. The dude's hurting. You can just see the way he's jogging. I mean, they need his bat in the lineup, so they're telling him probably, please, we just need you to DH. He can't play third. He can't play first. Like, he doesn't look healthy. And so part of the reason why I think Devers, and I'm not making an excuse for the guy, but part of the reason Devers isn't hitting like he normally get hit, I think his legs are not allowing that to happen. And you could see it last night, because Kruk and Kite must know that something's going on, because they would have dogged any other player on the team, not named Wilmer Flores, for not being on second base on that play. I mean, the ball was up. I think even Kruk said, Kipe said, he goes, that ball was up there for like 3 minutes. And I was thinking to myself, well, then why the hell isn't he at second base? But his legs are giving him trouble right now, and that's why he's not running well. I mean, that's just what it comes down to. Before I get into this whole story about Devers, let me take a pause and see what everybody's talking about real quick. And we got a ton to go on episode 185, so thank you for tuning in today. We appreciate it. Let's see. What do we got? Luciano just 23. Is he just 23? Oh my God. Doesn't it seem like he's been around forever? Yeah. Rutschman's having a down year. I don't think Baltimore's not trading him, but Rutschman's having a down year. I still like him, but he's definitely having a down year, which, you know, everybody's so quick to be like, Rutschman's the next, you know, Buster Posey or something. And when they started to, you know, Baltimore got all that talent together and they started winning games and everything, and everyone's staring at Rutschman. And like, I watched him at Oregon State. Guy can play. It's just, let's slow down real quick before we make anybody the next whatever. Let's see. I would agree 100% with this. Although I will say, I was thinking about Farhan the other day. He made one really good move that we're like, well, you got to give him that one. I mean, don't get me wrong, he was a complete joke, but, I'm trying to think of the one. I can't remember off the top of my head. I will. Luciano killing it. Yeah, he is. Like I said, he's got 16 home runs. At some point, they're so bad offensively. And I know he doesn't have a position. And I know Devers is your DH, especially with him not running around so well. Can you just try Luciano at first base? I mean, would he be a complete frying pan first baseman? I mean, you know, frying pan glove? I don't know. But right now at first base, what are your options? You know, Flores, you want him to, you know, I guess you want him to play some first base, but God, don't you have to see at some point, like Luciano's knocking the cover off the ball. He's actually even walking a little bit. Do you want to just see? I mean, it just kind of like with Ramos, it's like, God, the guy was killing it so bad, they just brought him up. They had to, right? They just were like, well, we got to see. Yeah, I don't know where John Miller has been. Let me shoot a text on that. I'm with you, Fozzie. Where has he been? I hope it's not a health issue because I just love John Miller. Love John Miller. Let's see what else they got. Yeah, I mean, they were saying this last night. They were putting the ball in play, but it was just like, oh, my God. Like, was it second inning? They had the bases loaded, no out. It was like, come on, man. And the Phillies' defense was terrible last night. My God. They were absolutely terrible last night. So, anyway. That contributed to everything in that weird whole thing. Yeah, Robbie Ray. Thanks, Mark. Thanks for reminding me. Because I was just like, I know he did make a couple of moves. But by and large, they acted like a small market team, and it pissed me off. I think it pissed everybody off, right? Hi, J49. Good to see you. Yeah, it was so frustrating. It was like, dude, you're not on the A's. You're not the Dodgers, but you're not on the A's. Tim, let me talk about this right now. I have the video. Will Clark confirmed that Devers missed the workout, but he gave him a pass due circumstances, miscommunications, perhaps. So this is what, Will Fleming said. Will is a broadcaster with the Red Sox. And it's fun because when the Red Sox come into town, they always put Will in the booth with Dave, and it's a lot of fun. So here's Will Fleming. He was on the flagship of the Red Sox WEEI in Boston, and he was talking about how Rafael Devers missed a session at first base with Will Clark.
And they think he's going to win them divisions and hit a bunch. He's going to hit home runs. Of course he is. They don't yet know what is going to happen with the player. I was there the second day. Will Clark was there to work on ground balls with him at first base, and Rafi didn't show up. So that's the person that these guys have been dealing with.
Okay. And look, I'm not saying that he's a liar. I'm not saying that at all. But what I would say is, hang on a second, and let's get to the bottom of this whole thing, and I'm sure they will. I know Will Clark said he missed the session. One of the things I would say is, look, Devers has been hurt. So, I don't know anything about Rafael Devers. I'm sure it wasn't a great way that he left Boston. We all saw the press conference. He wanted to put it all behind him. There were other circumstances. We're hearing one side of the story. What was it, Passan? I think it was Jeff Passan who wrote the long piece on it. And, you know, he didn't really like it. They come into spring training, you're going to be the DH. Oh, my God, now you need to be third base. And he's like, okay, third base. Now you need to be first base. And, you know, look, there's an ego involved with players at this level. And there was a miscommunication. And he just got pissed at the Red Sox and said, look, I'll play first base next year. Now, my general thought is, I get that Devers is a Giant. But my general thought is, look, if I'm paying you X amount of dollars, hell, if I'm paying you $10 to play Major League Baseball, I'm going to tell you where you're going to play. That's just the way it should be. Now, I get it. Players are different nowadays. Egos, brands, social media, all these different things happen. But guess what? Guess what? I'm still the general manager. I'm still the manager. I'm still, like, you can't, it's not Little League. Yeah, you know, come on, Billy. Like, it's different. I get it. And there's a way to massage players, especially major ego type players and superstars. But look, Rafael Devers, grab your glove. You're playing third. Rafael Devers, grab your glove. You're playing first. Okay, you're going to be the DH. Like, whatever the team asks you for, especially, you know, you throw in the amount of money that you're making, I think it should be a no-brainer. But I'm not in clubhouses. I'm not an athlete at that level. I know that's hard to believe, but I'm not an athlete at that level. And so I understand that there's ego involved. I've been around this almost 30 years, done sports radio, talked to, I mean, God, about any athlete there is out there, the biggest egos that you've ever seen in your life, I've interviewed. I get it. It's a different ballgame than you and I. Even if you're really successful at your job, you're the leading sales guy, you're the leading this, that, or the other. It's just different. You can't comp sports. You and I talk about this all the time. You can't comp sports to regular life all the time. There's a missing thing there, the ego that is involved and so forth. And there's guys, like, we deal with people all the time with giant egos. It's not even close to these guys. So I'm not saying that Rafael Devers was in the right. In fact, if all the reports are right, I don't care how pissed off you are at a certain, you know, general manager, Craig Breslow runs the Red Sox, whatever the case may be. Grab your first baseman's glove, man. We're paying you a ton of money. You're the leader of this team. You got to play first base. That's where we need you, and you can play there. Or you've played third base forever. We need you there. Now, when Chapman was down, they didn't have Devers play third because, as you can see, he's not running real well right now. And I'm surprised that we haven't seen more stories either from a Slusser or a Bagley or something like that, where it's like, yeah, it's pretty bad. I mean, you can just see it around the bases. You saw it over the weekend in Sacramento when he ran that double out. He wasn't running well. So I'm not making an excuse for the guy, but you can see that he's hurt. So I don't know the situation with Will Clark. Was that related to something where, look, he's not going to be playing first base anyway? Because Buster Posey came out and said, look, when Chapman went down, they talked to him. They said, can Devers play third? He's like, not only can he not play third right now because he's not healthy, he can't even play first. So he wasn't even working out at first. Now, when the press conference ended and we got footage of this, he was taking ground balls at first base. So I don't know when the injury happened, when it got worse, whatever the case may be, but he's not even working at first base now. He's not working at third base. So it sounds to me, because remember, go back to the press conference. Everything was kumbaya. He was talking about Barry Bonds and meeting Barry Bonds, and Will Clark was like, there's no way in my mind that Rafael Devers would have done all that, and then Will Clark shows up to help him at first base, and he says, hell with Will Clark. Who the hell's that guy? I'm not doing that. He wouldn't have done that. I don't think he would have done that. I think it's injury related. I think there's a miscommunication. I think it's injury related. And it'll come out now. Now that Will Fleming has said, hey, you know, he missed it with there's got to be something else there. There's got to be something else there. So we'll see. Miscommunication, whatever the case may be. But I got to believe that it's related to the injury that he has. But you know what? If it's not, like I said, I'm not on KNBR. I don't carry the Giants. I'm not protecting Rafael Devers. I'm just, before we jump to conclusions and say, obviously Rafael Devers is an asshole and this is a bad trade and he's a jerk. Hang on. Like, what's going on here? Because Will Fleming is saying, well, he missed it with Will Clark. And I know Will Clark said it on his show and everything like that, but let's just see. Like, was this injury related? Was it, you know, whatever, because the guy's not healthy. He's not working out at third. He's not working out at first. He's barely able to be a DH at this point. And I think once the guy gets healthy, and we'll see what the guy is. And again, I'll say this again and again and again, even if this trade falls on its face, which it won't, this is 100% a great trade by Buster Posey, no matter how it works out. Because things conceptually, that's the right move. Now, whether they work out or not, that's what we do as sports fans and what they do with the talking head shows during the day on ESPN and all those other shows. They analyze the result. And I get it. That's what we do as a society. Did it work out? But the solid thought behind it is they got Devers for Harrison Hicks, an A-ball pitcher, and James Tibbs. Okay, I'll do that 100 out of 100 times. Bats won't shine here. Rafael Devers is a special bat. It's going to be fine. But, yeah, how did it work out with Will Clark? That's not great. Don't love it. But I don't know 100% the story. I don't think it's as simple as he missed it, he blew off Will Clark. That's what's being portrayed. I don't think so. But we'll see. We'll see. Because now it's going to become an issue. Today, Bob Melvin's going to be asked about it. Today, like, we'll know today. Because now that it went public and Will Clark said it and Will Fleming said it in Boston, now all of a sudden it's going to be, they're going to ask him about it. They're going to ask Devers about it. They're going to ask Bob about it. They're going to be like, and we'll see what, you know. And again, it doesn't mean that Bob's going to tell the truth or the Giants are going to tell the truth. But I got to believe that there's something more to it than he didn't show up. There's got to be something there. Because like I said, it was kumbaya and all that kind of stuff. He's not going to just say, you know what, I'm blowing that dude off. I just can't believe that at the beginning. Now, look, I'm not saying that the things didn't happen in Boston the way they said they happened. But what I am saying is he went to a new team. We saw the press conference. He was all smiles. He said, I'll do whatever the Giants want me to do. But he's obviously not healthy. So we'll see. Yes, please like and subscribe to both channels. That would be great. Good morning, Papa Jay. It is great to see you. Who else we have? Good to see Kenny. He's a right here. I wonder if Devers was hurt in Boston or Devers get injured in San Francisco. I didn't hear that he was hurt at all. And then you can see, like I said, he's not moving well. Buster Posey said that he's not working in either position because of the hamstring. So, and I did. Yeah, I heard Will Clark too. I heard the same thing. So we'll see. Cause now they're going to have to address it. Now that it's public in this way, they're going to have to address it. So let's see. All right, so that is the story with Devers and Clark. Schedule I just showed you. We can go into the NBA. So anything else on the Giants? Do I have any other things that I need to show you from the Giants yesterday? Phil Cuzzi's schedule coming up. Okay, nothing else. Anything else on baseball before I move on to the NB of the A. Good morning, Folsom Steve. Good to see you. All right, let's do this. Couple of things. Now, before I get into Jazz Kuminga and this story that a friend of mine in Utah told me yesterday, this was posted. I don't know this this Twitter feed, but it, you know what everybody has done, and then it goes to the Warriors. And everybody's, all the Warrior fans are freaking, oh, we haven't done anything. Just a second. The Warriors have done a lot of things under Joe Lacob, and they're not just sitting on their hands. They're not being cheap. They're none of those things. I've said this to you over the last number of days, so I won't make this very long. They're going to try to swing for the fences. They're trying for Giannis. This is what this graphic tells me clearly. They're waiting. It looks like Bradley Beal is going to be bought out by the Suns. By the way, I don't know. I have no idea, but I read a story this morning. So Bradley Beal in his career has made like $400 million. And he's an okay player. He's made a few all-star teams, but you know he's not going to go down in history as anything. But he's made like $400 million. And they're haggling in Phoenix over like $10 million, like a buyout. And he's still owed by Phoenix like $114 million. So the buyout would be 100 versus like 114. And again, just like Damian Lillard, then it would be offset. So he's not going to be paid a lot. And we're hearing the Clippers, maybe that's why they made that move and they got rid of Norman Powell. They made some moves and they've gotten, you know, Brooke Lopez, they've gotten better. But then what they're saying is they're short a player and it looks like they're going to pick up Bradley Beal from Phoenix and maybe he'll fit a little bit better, whatever. But the hangup seems to be that the Suns are saying, look, we'll give you $100 million in a buyout. And he's saying, well, I'm owed 114. I know that's a lot of money, $14 million. But, dude, you've made like $400 million. You're going to get $100 million for sucking in Phoenix. You blocked the trade that would have brought Jimmy Butler to Phoenix. Thank you very much. So Jimmy had a contract worked out in Phoenix already. And Bradley Beal said, nope, I won't go to Miami. So now he's going to get bought out for $100 million of the $114 that he's owed, and he's kind of pissy that he's going to miss out on that money. And remember, after taxes, agent fees, all that kind of stuff, that $14 million is probably $5 million. And you've already got $400 million that you've made in the NBA. And again, I don't know how if you're Malik Beasley and you've screwed up and you've lost all that money, I have no idea. But for the love of God, man, move on, bro. They don't want you on the team. Like, how would that be? Like, I'm sure I've had that feeling before. Like, people don't want you. Like, you could take $100 million, leave Phoenix, get signed by the Clippers. Again, it's an offset, so you're not going to make any more money. But they actually seem to want you. Like, isn't that something? Like, what if you walked into work every single day and everyone hated you? Like, everyone hated you. Yeah, I'll take the $100 million and walk away. That's just me. It could be crazy. Now you're up to $500 million, and you're not even that great of a player. I mean, you're good. You're solid. You're an all-star player. But you're not, like, top 10 in the league. Making $500 million? My God, Washington overpaid him for years. So first and foremost, just to go back to that, sorry, didn't mean to make it about Bradley Beal. The Warriors haven't made a move. That clearly is telling you, yeah, we could sign Al Horford. That wouldn't be a big deal, and maybe they will today. Maybe that'll become official. But they're sitting back going, okay, I know Giannis is dancing on a boat in Greece, but we're just in case, because they know, just like we talked about yesterday, Al Horford's a nice name, and he's been around a long time, and he's won a championship, and he's a stretch five technically. But he's not changing their standing in the Western Conference, so they're just going to sit back. They're going to go, look, we can sign Al Horford at any point, but let's just make sure we have maximum flexibility that just in case, even if it's 90-10 that Giannis stays in Milwaukee, just in case Giannis says, you know what, this Miles Turner move was stupid, stretching that Damian Lillard contract for the next 5 years at 22 per season that we're going to eat is stupid. I don't think we can compete in the East. I'm out. Now, the East is so screwed up right now with Halliburton going to miss the season and Jason Tatum going to miss the season. The East is wide open. Atlanta made some moves. We know that. The Knicks should be pretty decent. So the East is wide open. So Milwaukee doesn't have to do a whole lot to be in contention in the East. So maybe Giannis is looking at that going, God, I'd much rather be in the frazzled East than I would the West against OKC, Houston, et cetera. So maybe he won't come. But in the very, even if it's a small, tiny percentage, they're just saying, let's be as flexible as we possibly can, which isn't very flexible, but let's just see. Let's just see. So that's the latest on the Warriors. That doesn't concern me. That graphic does not concern me in the slightest. And a bunch of people were sending that out, go, they haven't done anything. It's obvious what they're doing. They're just sitting back and seeing. And if it doesn't work out, then fine. They can move Kuminga. They can move, you know, whoever. They'll do something, but they're going, Al Horford's not going to change our fortunes next year, so why not just wait this thing out? So that's what that graphic tells me. Could be wrong. As far as Kuminga, now this is just a buddy of mine. I'm not reporting anything. I'm not saying that this is going to happen, but in that trade in which they traded John Collins, what did Collins end up with? The Clippers? I think Collins ended up with the Clippers, and Norman Powell ended up in Miami, and then Utah got second round picks and garbage and Kevin Love and all this kind of stuff who they're going to buy out. So apparently in that trade, they got a trade exception worth up to like $26.6 million. And a buddy of mine called me and goes, "Hey, what do you think of Kuminga?" And I was like, "Yeah, you know what I always say on the show, he could be an all-star. He could be a solid player. He's got some maturity issues, whatever, blah, 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 blah." And we got talking about it, and he goes, "Well, you know, the Jazz just open up a big trade exception, and they kind of like Kuminga, I'm hearing, and that might be something they do." Now, the thing that's interesting to me about it is, now Utah's in the talent-gathering portion of their rebuild. So they got that guy, Ace Bailey, who had a nice summer league game last night and get 18.7 boards. He was the number 5 pick in the draft out of Rutgers, and he didn't work out for any teams. There was speculation that he didn't want to be in Utah. And he's a similar kind of a player. He's got a better outside shot. I mean, he's got a little bit more of an advanced offensive game than Kuminga did at that point. But he played 1 year out of Rutgers. Very athletic kind of a guy. He's about 6'8", so he's similar in size than Kuminga. Kuminga's filled out a little bit since he's been in the league a few years. Bailey's a little bit thinner. But to me, they look like they're kind of redundant players. Now, I don't know enough about Ace Bailey, but again, they kind of look athletically similar size, all that kind of stuff. But again, remember, now teams are getting more and more size. But you want wing players who can be versatile and play multiple positions. And so maybe Danny Ainge is looking at like a Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum kind of a situation. Similar sized players, certainly different kind of games. Tatum is more advanced offensively. Brown's maybe the better defender. But they're similar size. They're athletic guys. They can guard a bunch of different positions. So maybe he's trying to think to himself, Kuminga and Ace Bailey could be my Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum type of a thing. Danny Ainge runs the Jazz. His son Austin is the, I think, president of baseball or basketball operations, whatever. They took Ace Bailey. They're like, "We don't care. We're going to take Ace Bailey." So anyway, we were talking about it because I said, "Well, God, are they kind of redundant?" And then we started talking about, you know, his days in Boston and maybe they could be a Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum kind of a thing. And so, yeah, I was like, okay. So maybe they're after Kuminga, but he brought that up to me. A friend brought that up to me that covers the Jazz and just said, "Hey, you know, they've got a big trade exception here." And that's kind of what I'm talking about this whole time with Kuminga. Is everybody's going, "Well, Kuminga's going to come back." And maybe he is. But I think Kuminga's sick of it. I think the Warriors are like, "We'll give you a chance 2 years from now." And he's like, "That's just not good enough." And they're not going to – I'll tell you this. If they move Kuminga, I don't think you'll be blown away by the return. I think you'll probably be pissed off. Because my thought was, okay, they got to get size. And Kuminga's the way that they can get size. But the Jazz aren't giving you Walker Kessler, for example. And again, Kessler's not a guy that's going to be a stretch big. He's going to be a pure defender on one end of the floor. He can be a lob threat to a certain extent. He's kind of a throwback center type, big guy. And he's going to defend the rim. Maybe he can do a little bit of rim running. He can do a little bit of pick and roll stuff. He's not overly athletic. He's certainly not going to shoot it. He's not going to be a stretch. But maybe, I mean, just to get Kessler in there to say, okay, he can defend Jokic a little bit. He can defend Anthony Davis. He can defend bigs, which right now in the Warriors, even though you'd like a stretch, there's no doubt. Because if you put, just say you put Walker Kessler in there and he's your center. Okay, well, Jimmy Butler's not a great shooter. Draymond Green's not a great shooter. You have a center that's not a threat for shooting at all. And now, yeah, the greatest shooter of all time is in your backcourt, and he's next to Pajemski. And if I get Pajemski, who was the guy in April, versus Pajemski, the guy that was generally the playoff guy who couldn't hit the broadside of a barn, then, yeah, that's a problem because you have – I'm not going to call Pajemski a non-shooter, but he's an inconsistent shooter. And then you got Curry, who's awesome, but then your front court is – Draymond Green thinks he can shoot a three, but doesn't, can't. Butler says he can, but he can't. He's a mid-range guy. And Kessler's not a shooting threat at all. So you don't have a great mix in your starting lineup, and I don't think you can get him for Kuminga anyway. So anyway, not saying that Kuminga's going to the Jazz. I'm just hearing that they've got a big trade exception, and they like Kuminga. That's all this guy said to me. And maybe it's a Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum kind of a combination with Ace Bailey. So we'll see. But that's kind of the latest rumor, is maybe Kuminga to the Jazz, which he would like, because Ace Bailey's an 18-year-old kid. He's going to take a minute. He's what Kuminga was when he first came out. And Kuminga's looking at that roster going, okay, Lauri Markkanen's there. Now, would they do Markkanen? I doubt it. But Lauri Markkanen's there, and so it's okay. Markkanen's there, Bailey's there, Kuminga's there. Like, okay, but there's gonna he's gonna play 35 minutes a night on that team. They're gonna lose a bunch of games. They probably would be the favorite for the number one pick next year, which is, by the way, ironically enough, a kid out of BYU, probably. But anyway, they probably have the number one pick, or that be the worst team. Now, whether the lottery balls say that or not, I think they're rigged, so they're not going to give Utah the number one pick. But point being is that, you know, Kuminga would fit. Kuminga would get 35 minutes. He'd be pretty happy. He'd lose a bunch of games. But at this point of his career, I don't think he cares. I think his number one thing is, and you can call it selfish if you want, his number one thing is, I want to play and see what I am. So anyway, there's that. All right, I'm sure you saw this, but I might as well just put it up on the screen. My God, man. If that ain't Rick James, I don't know who is. There's Joe Dumars, who I knew in Detroit, by the way, and he took Darko Milicic above Carmelo Anthony or Dwayne Wade with the second pick in the draft after they won the championship. They had a trade, and they got the second pick in the draft in the LeBron James draft in 2003. So it went LeBron James, Detroit had the second pick. Joe Dumars was president of basketball operations, the former guard next to Isaiah Thomas. And he took Darko Milicic ahead of Carmelo Anthony or Dwayne Wade or Chris Bosh. Anyway, I digress. Come on, Looney looks like Looney does not look like the guy in the picture. Everybody was like Rick James. He does. I mean, my God, that is like unbelievable. I mean, seriously, I would have thought that was AI. I'm like, that's AI. Like, they made a Rick James picture of Looney, and that's not cool. Because that's not the guy behind him in the picture, that's Looney. The guy shaking Joe Dumars' hands, that's Rick James. So anyway, that was the number one thing that was trending. It was so funny yesterday. I go online, and you know, under trending on in sports, it says Rick James. Under sports, in Rick James is dead. And so I'm like, why is Rick James trending under sports on Twitter? And I click on it, and there's that picture of Kevon Looney looking like Rick James. It's a good look, man. It's a good look. Bring it back. Anyway, there you go. Joe Dumars and Rick James, also known as Kevon Looney. So good luck in New Orleans, Loon. That was amazing. That was absolutely amazing yesterday. So there's that. Looney, Rick James. That is your hoop side. Anybody else want to talk any more hoops? I got a little Niners for you, but we can talk some hoops. Look. I've said this 500 times. They're going to be in the lottery for a long time with or without Kuminga when Steph's gone, when Dre's gone. It doesn't really matter. And I think maybe they finally got to the point. And I know that Lacob likes Kuminga, but he liked Wiseman and he liked Poole and he liked this and he liked that. They're looking at their team going, look, guys, there's been so many really good moves in the Western Conference. Houston's really, really good, et cetera, et cetera. We're looking at like sixth place with or without Al Horford, which would help. Look, if they could get – they're not going to get Walker Kessler, but, I mean, if they could get that kind of a guy with Al Horford, now you're cooking with gas. So they've got to be able to – they've got to use Kuminga to get some size because, I'm sorry, Al Horford playing 18 minutes a night because he's 39 years old is just – that's not going to change your fortunes. So I just think when it comes to Kuminga, I think his camp is going to be like, they're not going to want to sign it. They're just not going to want to sign the qualifying offer. They're not going to want to sign for multiple years. Because the best the Warriors can do is say 2 years. You said that 2 years ago. Yeah, but we mean it this time. 2 years. You're going to get a chance in 2 years. And it's like, All right, that's the latest on the Warriors. 49ers-wise, I think I got to share my screen with you on this. 49ers-wise, let me hit a couple of things. Because we're at the slow point of the NFL season. Really the only part that's the slow part because the offseason is going, free agency and draft takes up so much time and all this kind of stuff. That ESPN is doing all these lists before camp here in a couple of weeks. So yesterday it was the running backs and we talked about McCaffrey being fifth. And then today they're doing a list of, there's two things, defensive tackles, and they rank the NFL wide receiver, tight end, running back groups. All right, so your skill position players. This may surprise you, so I'm sharing this on the screen right now. This may surprise you a little bit, so let me go up to one here. Okay, the Eagles. They just won the Super Bowl. I get it. Saquon Barkley, you know, and then look at the type of guys that they have as far as at the wide receiver position. A.J. Brown had a really nice year, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Devontae Smith, et cetera. So I have no problem with the Eagles being ranked number one. No problem with the Lions being ranked number two. Amon-Ra St. Brown is really, really good. Tons of buzz around Gibbs. Jahmyr Gibbs is really, really good. Got it. David Montgomery, Sam Laporta, and an injury, blah, blah, blah. Lions good. Get it. Totally get it. Bengals at three. I don't know how you could argue that, because Jamar Chase, great receivers. They're really good. Okay. I can go with that. And then you go to the Niners. Now, what's funny about that is so many people have been complaining, and it says right there, 24 and 23, they were number one in this list. So even right now, knowing that Brandon Ayuk, I don't know when he's going to come back. They ranked McCaffrey 5. They traded Debo, which I've said this a million times. I'm just not broken up about that at all. And then I saw him. He looked gigantic at Commanders camp. So we'll see. DeMarcus Robinson, don't love. Juwan Jennings, I do. George Kittle's the best tight end in football. And a big question mark is Ricky Pearsall. Is Ricky Pearsall going to be able to make a jump? That's a huge thing. People talking about Jordan Watkins, the young kid out of Ole Miss. Could he do something? The big key, obviously, is when does Brandon Ayuk come back and how effective is Brandon Ayuk? But my point in putting this up there for you, and then we go to the Rams and et cetera, on down the line. So many people will probably think that number four on the list is too high for the 49ers skill position players. I don't. Christian McCaffrey is 100% healthy. Juwan Jennings, I think, is underrated, even locally, I think he is. Robinson's just okay. It's not going to really do anything for me. The whole key to everything is, what's Pearsall going to be, and could Watkins really be something? The kid out of Ole Miss, could he really be something? So that's the key to everything, but I think McCaffrey's going to go back to the top of the running backs. I think Saquon Barkley's a really nice back, and within that offense, because there's so much talent around him, he's going to have a really good year. But McCaffrey, I think, has it in the back of his mind that being fifth is very disrespectful to him. I expect him to have a monster year. So my point in showing this to you is they're going to score points. I continue to say this. They are going to score points, the 49ers. And what that brought me to is Pro Football Focus was doing offensive line rankings, and I'm a dork, so I click on it. And they had the Niners like 12th. But what really did it to me, and a couple of months ago I did this. So again, this is the number next to them is they're great. Now, McCaffrey didn't play enough. Purdy, that's a nice number. Ayuk's not going to be available for a while. Jennings, that's a good number. Kittle, Blue is really, really good. He's the best tight end in the game. Pearsall, we don't know. Offensive line scares me, but they're going to score enough points. All right? They're going to score enough points. Now, this is where I get scared. Robert Saleh is awesome, but I get so nervous about this because Bosa's got a 91 grade. Obviously, Warner's really good. Look at the rest of these guys. D'Amino Lenore didn't necessarily have a great year. Pinnock in coverage was horrible last year. Gave up a ton. Brown is coming off an injury, and I still don't love it. Lenore didn't. I'm Green and Lenore. I flipped. Lenore didn't have a great year. Green's got to take a step up in his second year. Winters, I have no trust whatsoever. And rookie. And so, you know, I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt because Robert Saleh has been a great defensive coordinator. But remember, when Robert Saleh first got here, the first couple of years when they didn't have defensive talent, they weren't very good. And Robert Saleh is not going to be able to tackle anybody, intercept any passes, put pressure on the quarterback, stop the run. He's a coach. And so it's got to be guys. And then the other thing about this whole thing is the lack of depth defensively as well. So they're counting on Williams. You've got to be great. Fewest snaps coming out at edge. It's going to take him a minute. Elliott, look at that number, 47.6. The guy that we saw in Cleveland, remember when the Niners played the Browns and the Browns beat him with like Walker at quarterback? That dude was awesome that day. We didn't see that guy last year. Collins still hasn't signed his contract. He's a rookie. You never know. Bosa's Bosa. And then, like I said, Winters wasn't impressive. He was better later in the year. Warner's Warner, and you got a rookie. Safeties, not real confident. Got to be better. He's got to take a step up. He's got to be better. And then you add another corner to this thing. What, Trey Brown, the guy who got injured a lot in Seattle. You may have to go rookie in that thing. So look, I think they need a veteran safety still. There's some guys out there. The defense does scare you. I mean, you go Robert Saleh. I have confidence in Robert Saleh. They've always been really good defensively. It's okay. But rookie along the defensive line, guy who wasn't good, guy who needs to take a step up, guy who wasn't good, rookie, guy who got fried in pass coverage last year, and iffy. And if you believe in their grades, I mean, again, 64, let's just, let go back to school for a minute. 64, not good. 54, not good. 69, not good. Well, some ways it is. you know, 67, not great. You have two players on your defense that were really, really good, and you have 10 where you go, ugh. And you have how many rookies? One, two, three rookies, second-year guy, third-year guy. If they can be top 10, it might be a minor miracle. I'm not trying to be down on them and everything like that. I'm just – offensively, they're going to score points. Can they stop anybody? How much can Robert Saleh make a difference? And how much can you count on rookies, second-year guys, all that kind of stuff? It's going to be tough, man. It's going to be tough. And Pro Football Focus, like, those are the grades. You may not agree with them all the time, but in Elliott's case, a 47, I mean, my God, man. I could be drunk and go to class and get a 47, like, on a test. Like, come on, man. And at times during my college career, I probably did. But anyway, there's the depth chart for the 49ers, and there's some 49ers on the list. What are we, eighth? Couple of weeks. I think it's, what is it, 22nd? So we're getting there. So we're at that dead point of the NFL season. But once the NFL season starts, I just want to let you know, I'll be going down there every day. I'll be giving you reports from training camp, shooting video like everybody else does, and giving you reports from Niners camp, which starts in a couple of weeks. So that'll be fun. So anyway, defense does scare me, though. So that's going to be my main focus as I go down there and check out these guys. So that is what's going on as far as the 49ers go. Anything on the 49ers front that you want to get into before we get into the sweet, clean, family-friendly Caboose pistol? Did I say hi to the 420 today? I don't know if I did. Hey, Tacky, what's going on? I don't know if I said good morning to you, but if I did not, good morning, good morning, good morning. Before we get to the sweet, clean, family-friendly Caboose pistol, do remember, please subscribe to the channel, John Lund Unleashed. Please subscribe to the Bay Area Sports Collective on YouTube as well. Hit us with the like before you get out of here today as well. That would be outstanding. And please keep those alerts on because we send stuff out throughout the day. Thank you for watching on X today at John Lund Radio. Thanks for watching on Instagram at John Lund Radio today as well. Facebook, LinkedIn, however you are watching, we appreciate it. If you would migrate over to the chat room and join, that would be outstanding as well. So please become a subscriber to John Lund Unleashed. That would be outstanding. All right. I don't have any video today. I do not have any first pitches today like I had yesterday where I found my old first pitch from, God, how many years ago was that? 15? By the way, 15 years ago yesterday, I moved here. I've been here 15 years. So anyway, so that was the deal. But got a little sweet, clean, family friendly Caboose pistol. A couple of things. And one is actually good news for travelers. Let's do it.
John Lund Unleashed presents the Caboose Pistol.
Wedged in the crack of her buttocks.
Somehow, someway, Lundo thinks this is the best way to leave a final impression on you for the day.
The old Caboose Pistol, everybody has one.
Did you say Caboose Pistol?
I know some women who could hide a machine gun in there.
Yeah.
Leave me out of this, you weirdo. Here's John.
All right, let me hit a couple of chats real quick before we do this. Every time Lund says thanks for watching an X, my first thought is I'm not an ecstasy. That's a good point. I just wish they'd have left it Twitter. You know? I mean, X has already got so many different, like you said, meanings. X, C, X, like all these different things. Just Twitter. It's just so much easier. And I go back and forth, but I just call it Twitter, won't you? Please? All right. Two things. I know this has been going on a long time, and maybe this is an old bit, but she signed with an old team. Like, is that the best name in sports right now? DeWanna Boner? Is it Bonner or is it Boner? I don't know. But, I mean, DeWanna Boner has got to be the – I don't know what best name there is in sports right now, but DeWanna Boner has to be the best name. She's going back to Phoenix where she played 10 seasons and won two titles. She was on Indiana, Caitlin Clark's team. But she's going back to Phoenix, and I saw that yesterday, and I'm like, that's an amazing name. Like, DeWanna Boner, that's got to be the best name in sports right now. I could be wrong. Give me a better one, and I bet you're wrong. I mean, every year I think – they put out, somebody does, a top 10 list of college football names, and they're really good. But I just don't think you're beating DeWanna Boner, even though maybe you don't pronounce it Boner. I'm not sure if you do. But clearly B-O-N-N-E-R is Boner, and that's just what it is. And people who have the last name of B-O-N-N-E-R always say it's like Bonner, and it's not Bonner. It's Boner. But over the years, you know, you change it because it's like, I don't want my last name being Boner. Like, you know when they always ask you for your information, and what's your name again? What's your name? And you got to write it down. It's DeWanna Boner. It's what? DeWanna Boner. Did you just say DeWanna Boner? Yeah, I did. That's my name. So, anyway, best name in sports right now? Any challengers? Any second place? That's pretty much got to be number one. But anyway, just asking. And then this one right here, this is great news. Because the number one thing that drives me, maybe number one thing, and I'm pretty mellow at airports, to be honest with you. If you get angry at airports, this would be my thought, because this is before you get to the bar and have some drinks. And we wouldn't have a Caboose Pistol if it wasn't for airlines and Florida, but probably wouldn't have one if it wasn't for airlines, because people fight and get all pissed off. I do a total, like, if let's say I'm doing an Uber or something to the airport, I'll do like a I get myself in a mode to say, look, no one really likes the traveling part of travel. You want to get to your destination, maybe it's work, maybe whatever. It's just like, I hate doing this, but everybody's in the same boat. And so I get myself into a mode on purpose before I get to the airport and say, nothing is going to bother me. Don't care if I got a kid kicking the seat. Don't care if I got a drunk guy. Don't care if, you know, it's someone who forgot to take off their shoes or forgot to do this or empty their pockets, or, you know, there's a million things that happen at an airport. You're like, what a dumbass, right? Like, what a dumbass. And whatever the case may be, it's just people drive you crazy, right? So I go in, I have this attitude before I get into an airport of patience. I hate being late. My wife can tell you, I hate being late to an airport. I'd rather sit there at the bar for an hour than have to run through the airport like OJ in a Hertz commercial. I'm just not doing that. Like, I don't want to run. I can't remember the last time I was late for a flight that didn't have like a, you know, connector, and I was late on the connector, and that wasn't my fault. It was obviously the airline. But like, just getting to a flight, I'm notoriously early, and it drives my wife crazy. But I want to be patient, and I want to, like, if that, you know, no big deal, that whatever, you know, I got to have my bag checked, because a lot of times I take gear on the road with me. So even for this show, but even like when I was doing through 30 years of sports radio, I was always carrying gear, and they would always look at it and they think it's a bomb or something. And I'm like, no, what is this? It's this. It's like, I always, okay, I'm going to spend 10 minutes. No big deal. Like, I'm just very, very, very patient. But now having said all those things, the thing that bothers me the most at airports is inconsistency. Oh no, you can keep your computer in the bag. Oh, you can. Oh, you got to take your iPad out. Oh, no, you got to take your shoes off. No, you can leave your shoes on. And they get mad at you, like, from airport to airport. You got to pull that out. Well, it's the last airport I was in, I didn't have to. Well, you do here. Oh no, you got to take your shoes off. Well, last airport I didn't. Like, so the inconsistencies drive you absolutely crazy. I don't know. Maybe your experience is different. For some reason, the smaller airports are the biggest nitpickers. And I'm like, I got news for you, Boise, Idaho. I don't think they're coming after you. But okay, if you want me to, you know, strip down naked and go over here, I guess that's what I'm going to have to do. I mean, those are the airports to me that seem like I go to SFO. It's like, phew, I go right through. I go to Boise, Idaho, and it's like, oh my God, they're like ripping apart my bag. They're ripping my clothes off. Like, I'm like, what? I don't think this is a main vein kind of an airport that they're going to, you know, they're coming after you. I just don't think so. But anyway, whatever. So this is great news. Passengers will no longer have to take their shoes off at the airport. If you're a regular traveler, this is massive news. Because I go to the airport when I travel. I don't know how you dress when you travel. Most people dress horribly when they go to the airport. But I think there's two things that I do. One, I dress for the destination. So I don't care. Like, it could be cold on the airline, but I'll throw like a hoodie or something, a zip up, not a hoodie, because then you got to take everything off. But I'll take like a zip hoodie on the plane, because planes are notoriously freezing. And so it's freezing on there. But I'm like, if I'm going to Phoenix right now or Vegas or something, it's 100 degrees. I'm wearing shorts on the plane and a t-shirt. I'm going to be it's for the destination. If I'm going to Mexico, like, I'll see people going to Mexico all the time, like in winter. And they're wearing like sweatshirts and long pants and all this, and they're going to be freezing. When you get there and you have to go through the big long line to get into Mexico, you're going to be like, it's 110 degrees there, man. Or not that. It's like 85 degrees with humidity. Like, you're not going to be in a good mood. So you got to, number one, you got to dress for the destination, not for where you are on the plane. If it's 5 degrees outside, too bad. Put on shorts and a t-shirt. You're going to be landing in Mexico. You should dress for the destination. You do you, but I'm just telling you. And then second of all, I've got to think about my shoes. So I'm always like, okay, slip-ons, like slip-on Vans or any kind of shoe or slides or something like that, because I know I got to take my shoes off. So I'll never, it's not about comfort or anything like that. It's about how quickly can I get my shoes off at the airport. And now I'm not going to have to worry about that, and neither are you. like whatever, however you like. I'd rather just wear comfortable shoes, and you got to walk a lot ways in the airport. But that whole point of having to take my shoes off, I'm like, I got to untie my shoes. I got to do this. I got to do that. And it's like, no. So I always wear slides or something that is, you know, I never wear any shoes that tie or anything like that. Now you don't take your shoes off. So that's nice. Maybe you don't think that's that big of a deal. To me, it is, because you do. You wake up in the morning. Actually, I do it the night before. I'm like, okay, what are going to be my shoes? I got to worry about, like, okay, I got to take an extra pair of shoes because I know that if I'm at the airport, I got to take these damn things off. And by the way, that happened 20 years ago, and they finally did research. I read this piece. They finally did research that it's like 0.00001% of people. Now, you want it to be, you get it. Now they're going to start going back to, you know, oh, now we can hide stuff on our shoes again. And then we're going to have to do it again. But like, it was one guy like 20 years ago. And so it's like, we've had to take our shoes off ever since, and now we don't have to. So I'm excited about that. Sorry if that was a letdown to you, but there you go. No more taking off your shoes at the airport. Very nice. And the best name in sports, DeWanna Boner. That is your sweet, clean, family-friendly Caboose Pistol. Any other thoughts, questions, comments? Let me know. Yeah, exactly. That's the other thing, too, is like, you'd be at the airport, and people would not, they wouldn't have socks or anything on, so people are like, have their bare feet walking on that nasty, you know, floor in the airport. Like, yeah. Because, you know, women, they have, you know, like, flats on or something or whatever like that. And so they got their, like, that's gross. Like, I always wore, even if I was going to like Mexico or something and I wanted to flip, like, just for that part, I'd put on like a pair of, like, you know, ankle socks, and I'd just throw them away. I'd throw them away at that point, and I'd just put my slides back on. But I'm not walking on the gross airport floor barefoot. Like, that's gross. No way. Are you going? Are you traveling tomorrow? Yeah. I mean, I don't know when that goes into effect, James, but it said that they're saying no more. You don't have to take your shoes off anymore. And it's been about 20 years since we've had to do that. Oh, I do have clear. Yeah, I do have clear. It's nice. Yeah. I do have clear. Although I don't know. Man, they're kind of like, clear's nice. Clear's nice. There's no, I need to, you know what I need to? I need to get that TSA thing. And yeah, I brought up Boise. Somebody said, yeah, but Boise is a major pain in the ass. You ever gone to Boise before? I'm telling you right now. Get her. No, I've gone there, and it's like, I swear they were like stripping me down. I'm like, you're in Boise, man. Like, I'm telling you right now, they're not targeting Boise. No, now maybe that's the reason why that they're doing it, because they're like, yeah, no one would think. Yeah, they're not targeting you, man. They're not coming after this airport. I'm telling you. All right. Anything else today? Anything else? Yeah, no, slip-ons are great. Like I said, I have Vans slip-ons or, you know, whatever, depending on where you're going. Like, if you're going to cold weather, you don't want to have an open-toe shoe. But more times than not, I'm usually traveling to, like, a warm-weather destination. So it's like, yeah, I'm going to have, you know, I'm going to have something slip-on. Now I can actually wear a comfortable shoe, because that's the quandary that you find yourself in, is you want a comfortable shoe because you know when you're doing the airport, you're going to be walking a lot. But then you know you're going to have to go through security, and they're going to ask you to take off your damn shoes. And I am amazed at how many people, and again, I'm laid back at the airport. I've got a great attitude, but I'm amazed at how many people, A, forget, it's been 20 friggin' years, oh, I got to take my shoes off, or two, are wearing like this high boot. And, you know, you see this woman like having to take off this boot that went up to her knees. It's like, did you didn't think you were going to have to go through security? Like, you're wearing like, you know, stripper boots. Like, what are you doing? Anyway, they're having to take off their shoe. All right, that's all from me. All right, episode 185. How did the Giants win? They did somehow. Root was solid. Devers Clark, which I'm sure that's going to get addressed today, so we'll see. Was Devers hurt? What's going on? He's been hurt, so maybe that's not why he was out there, but maybe he just did blow him off. I don't think so. That doesn't make sense, but we'll see. The schedule is going to be tough. Like I said, you add Toronto to that whole thing, who I forgot. First in the East, Dodgers coming up, Phillies right now, Mets are the top wild card team. We're going to find out a lot about the Giants right before and right after the All-Star break. Looney looks like Rick James. My buddy said maybe the Jazz and Kuminga, because they've got a big trade exception. 49ers on list. Just go to ESPN. 49ers depth chart I showed you. The defense does make me a little nervous. Random. We didn't get into as many random things today, although I did do a tangent on the airport there just a minute ago. What am I thinking? Sweet, clean, family-friendly Caboose Pistol was the greatest name, and you don't have to take your shoes off anymore. Anything else today as well? What was it? In Boise, Idaho. Yeah, I think it was. Yeah, it was. Did Leonard Skinner? Was that Steve Miller? What was it? I can't remember. Something. Who did that thing? In Boise, Idaho. I think that was, maybe that's a Steve Miller man. I don't know if Leonard Skinner had a problem, but something like that. Anyway, I think I'm close. All right, that'll do it for episode 185. Please make sure to give us a like before you get out of here today on John Lund Unleashed on YouTube. If you are not subscribed, please subscribe. You can't just get this kind of content anywhere. Also, make sure that you keep those alerts on, both on John Lund Unleashed on YouTube and the Bay Area Sports Collective, because with the Bay Area Sports Collective, then you'll know when Paulie Mack and Creative Tony are on, which is shortly. Tom Tolbert, Rod Brooks, Amy G., Jeremy Alfell, all those things, because then you'll get an alert there as well. So make sure you hit both channels, John Lund Unleashed and the Bay Area Sports Collective. Subscribe there. For all things Unleashed, go to John Lund Unleashed. Put your comments right here underneath if you're watching later. Remember, we make this into a podcast very shortly after the show. Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your favorite podcast. And for all things Unleashed, go to johnlundunleashed.com. Everybody have a wonderful, wonderful Tuesday.
Thanks for hanging out with John Lund Unleashed. We'll try to be better next time, though I wouldn't hold my breath. Please like and subscribe on the John Lund Unleashed Pod YouTube channel. Watch live shows weekdays at 8 a.m. on YouTube, Instagram, and X. And make sure to have your alerts on for shows throughout the day or night. All things Lund can be found at johnlundunleashed.com. johnlundunleashed.com.
Goodbye!